Barbecue family, welcome to another episode live stream of the Backyard Smoke Master Barbecue Podcast. I'm your host, Kenyatta Robinson. I'd like to welcome everyone who is tuning in to the live stream to please join in. Let's make this interactive. If you have questions or comments, please don't hesitate. Don't be shy. Put them into the comments and we try to respond to all of the questions that we do get. That's what really helps make the show. It's the engine of the show. It's the live interaction with all of you. So I want to thank you in advance for any feedback that you do provide during today's show. I am currently working on a new video that's going to be based on doing a comparison, and this was in response to a viewer request, a comparison between the iconic Weber kettle and the PK360. And I thought it would be a good idea as I continue to get that video prepared and ready for release on YouTube to do a podcast, because one of the questions that I often get is, what is a good grill smoker for beginners? And then not only that, a lot of you may already have a Weber kettle, which is, like I said, it's pretty much iconic. When you see it in someone's backyard, that shape, you pretty much know what it is. So a lot of you may already have a Weber kettle and you might be thinking about doing an upgrade. So is it worth doing an upgrade to something like the PK360? And they are very similar. So I thought it would be a good idea to talk about that this evening. And again, if you guys, as we go through the discussion, if you do have any questions or comments, or if you have experience with either the Weber kettle or the PK360, please chime in. Would love to hear your thoughts. So to help make this go a little bit smoother, I did put together this presentation. And if you do want a copy of it, you can easily get a copy. I'll be more than happy to send it to you. So let me show that here. If you do want a copy, it's just a comparison that will show many of the key stats and what I consider to be like the pros and, well, not really cons, but the key stats comparing the Weber kettle and the PK360. So if you'd like to get a copy of it, you can get it at backyardsmokemaster.com/Weber360. Just to start off, one of the reasons why I would routinely recommend the Weber kettle is the price. It's a very low entry to get a Weber kettle. You can find one pretty much at any hardware store, your local hardware store, your big box stores. Weber kettles, you can get one for as low as $140. And then the price, they have additional options where you can get more bells and whistles and the price then goes incrementally higher. But the lowest entry, $140 for a 22-inch Weber kettle. So that's pretty much the original version. And then if you wanted to get the PK360, and PK stands for portable kitchen, you could opt for the PK360 and you can get that for $800. And I would say that oftentimes PK will frequently have sales and you might be able to get it for less than that, or you might be able to get like additional freebies along with it. And here we have a comment, let's see, from Archangel of Hades, says he currently has a PK360, but have only done a few cooks on it, still learning to use it. He used a Weber kettle in the 90s and the 2000s. I would say cook on it. Definitely cook on it, because many of the principles of cooking on a PK360 are very similar to cooking on a Weber kettle, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to do this comparison. So let's get a little bit more into it. The build for the Weber kettle is steel coated with porcelain enamel. And then the PK360 is made, it's cast aluminum. What they tout as a highlight is that it is rust proof. Now, when I say that they're similar, and actually, let me move over to the next slide so we can get a picture of the PK360. And then also, let me kind of change up the view here because I see some of my overlays are covering part of the presentation. Okay, that looks better. So when I say that the cooking experience on the PK360 is similar to the Weber kettle. So if you're familiar with the Weber kettle, at the bottom of the kettle, you have the oxygen intakes. And similarly, on the bottom of the PK360, if you look at this picture of the PK360, in this picture, I removed the shelves. But if you look at the picture, there's those two circular like cylinders down at the bottom. So those serve as the oxygen intake on the PK360. On the Weber kettle, you have one exhaust valve up at the top. Let's go back. Can't really see it in this picture, but up in the top of the lid, there is an exhaust where you can basically make adjustments to allow the air, the oxygen out of the kettle. And that's primarily what you would use to control the temperature. Opening the exhaust wider, that's going to help you increase the temperature. Shutting it down some, if you want to lower the temperature, you just close the valve. Same principles on the PK360. Up at the top of the lid, there's one on each side, but you have similar dials up at the top. And it's the same principles. Wide open, open exhaust, that increases the temperature. If you want to lower the temperature, you just shut those valves down. So it's the same thing, pretty much the exact same principle. So if you know how to cook on a Weber kettle, that you will easily be able to pick up learning how to cook on a PK360. And that's another reason why a lot of times they kind of go hand in hand in terms of a comparison, or the PK360 can be considered an option for maybe upgrading from a Weber kettle. Let's look at the dimensions of the two. They're pretty similar in a lot of ways. If you look at the height, the PK360 is about 43 inches from the ground. Weber kettle, 39.5. The width, PK360, 44.2 inches with the shelves on. And I actually kind of like leaving the shelves off because I just find those shelves give it a much larger footprint than what I anticipated when I bought my PK360. So I took the shelves off, and they're easy to take on and put back, take off and put back on. But I like to leave mine off. The width of the Weber kettle, 22.5 inches, and the depth also pretty close, almost 27 inches for the PK360 with the shelves on. Weber kettle, 25 inches. So they basically have a pretty similar footprint physically. The cooking area is also very close. PK360, the cooking area, 360 square inches. The Weber kettle is actually 363 inches. So you get a few more inches of cooking space, cooking area with the Weber kettle. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. And on this slide, so actually I wanted to go through here on this slide and kind of show you, just in my estimation, which one I give the edge to for each of these different categories. So when it comes to the ease of control, they're both very easy to control. And like I talked about, the principles of controlling, and when I talk about control, it's really just the fire, the temperature control. So managing the temperature on each cooker, very similar, very compatible. I give the slight edge to the PK360 only because the dials to make adjustments to the intake as well as the exhaust. They're just a little bit easier. They just open and close a little more fluid than on the Weber kettle. And I think it's a little bit more straightforward, but that's not to say that the Weber kettle is in any way significantly more difficult to control than the PK. And then versatility, I give the edge for versatility to the Weber kettle. And that's mainly because there are just a ton of accessories for the Weber kettle. I mean, if you can think of it, there's probably an accessory available for it. So it's supported by a lot of different third parties as well as Weber itself. And so not quite as many accessories, not even close when it comes to the PK360. But I do think that the important accessories that you might think of are also available for the PK360. One of the ones that I would recommend for the PK360 would be Kick Ash. They make a charcoal basket that I think adds a lot more flexibility, adds more efficiency, I should say, with regard to the use of charcoal. And then speaking of charcoal, if I didn't mention, usually with the Weber kettle, I think most people think of, or the charcoal that they would use with the Weber kettle would typically be briquettes. Although you can use lump, but I think most people generally cook with briquettes when it comes to the Weber kettle. Whereas the PK360, I think more often than not, I think folks are probably cooking with lump charcoal, although you could definitely also use briquettes with the PK360 as well. Now, when it comes to two-zone cooking, and this was really what attracted me initially to the PK360, because I just thought that its design really lends itself to two-zone cooking. Just that rectangular shape. So it just makes it really easy to visualize having a hot side and a cool side. You've got your fuel source, your charcoal, on the hot side, and then on the cool side is where you would put your food. And that's really, when it comes to barbecue, learning how to barbecue, having a cooker and mastering the concept of two-zone cooking is really key. And that can very easily be accomplished with the PK360, but then it can also very easily be accomplished with the Weber kettle as well. Lots of accessories, or you don't even need an accessory. Weber kettle, you just bank all your coals on one side for your hot side, and then you put your meat on the other side for the cool sides. Pretty even between the two when you're thinking about two-zone cooking. But then for three-zone cooking, that's where you might have a cool side, somewhat, I guess what you might call like a medium side, where you've got like maybe just a few coals, and then a hot side. So because of the shape of the Weber kettle, I have found that it's easier to set up for three-zone cooking if you wanted to do that on a Weber kettle than it is on a PK360. I mean, I guess it should be possible to do on a PK360, but I think more often than not, you're going to set up your PK for two-zone cooking. I think that the three-zone cooking can more easily be accomplished with the Weber kettle, so I give the edge there to the Weber kettle. Again, guys, if you have any questions, please throw them in the comments, and we'll get to them. Low and slow cooking. So again, that usually goes hand in hand with two-zone cooking. And low and slow is basically where you're cooking at. Usually it's like 225 to 275 degrees Fahrenheit. That's usually where you're at with the low and slow cooking. And that can easily be accomplished with both. So I gave a check mark to both of them. And then also for high temperature grilling, you know, where you're getting your temperatures up over 350 degrees, high temperature cooking can easily be accomplished on both. in lots of different ways. I mean, you can essentially just fill up the entire firebox for both PK360. You can load it up with charcoal and you could do high temperature grilling that way. You can load up the kettle with charcoal and do the high temperature. So that allows you to, you could do, you kind of like the traditional hot dogs that everybody loves on holidays. Of course, really good for doing steaks as well. So you can really get both of these cookers very hot in order to do high temperature cooking and then offset cooking. And that could have a really hot side, but you're still keeping your meat on the cool side, offset away from your coal. So that could be ideal. Let's say you want to do a chicken. So you want to cook your chicken at a really high temperature, but you don't want your chicken necessarily to be directly over the coals. You can easily set up either of these cookers for offset cooking as well. Now, for useful cooking space, you know, we talked about how they're very similar in terms of the cooking area. So just going back to that slide. So cooking area, again, PK360 is 360 square inches of cooking space, whereas the Weber kettle has 363. But what I found is there just seems to be, and maybe it's because of that shape, that oval shape for the Weber kettle, it seems like there's just a little bit more useful cooking space on the Weber kettle than on the PK360. And then also, I think another potential limitation with the PK is the amount of clearance that you get with the cover. So if you have a really large turkey, for example, if it's really large, you might be challenged actually getting that turkey underneath that cover for the PK360. Not to say that it can't be done, but I think you have a much easier time. It's not even really a thought or a consideration with the Weber kettle. The design of the Weber kettle, I think, gives you more height clearance for foods like a large turkey. So I give the edge in terms of useful cooking space to the Weber kettle. And then for durability, give the edge to the PK360, the cast aluminum. What they basically tout is, like, you wouldn't even necessarily have to cover the PK360, and then you should be able to, you know, it should be able to withstand all conditions, rain, hail, sleet, snow. It should be able to stand up throughout it all. I think the Weber kettle, I think, can also withstand many conditions. I would recommend putting a cover on it when you're not using it. But I'm just thinking, like, if you, for some reason, if you knock the Weber kettle to the ground, it's more likely to get a dent or maybe show some surface damage, whereas the PK is kind of built like a tank. It can pretty much withstand anything you throw at it. So giving the edge to the PK360. In terms of total points, give the nod to the PK. I gave them 7 points, Weber kettle 6. But again, keeping in mind that there is a significant price difference. So the question, is the PK worth the upgrade? And that'll be a question that will be addressed in the video that I'm working on. We're also doing a taste test to see if there's any way to notice a difference in the flavor that we get. But I think, again, comparing the two, I think it's really, really close. We got another comment. On my PK360, I struggle to get the temperature above 350 degrees and maintain it. Is the solution more fuel Also, is there any benefit to mixing lump and charcoal as a fuel source? Okay, I do think that the issue, if you're having difficulty getting the temperature up to 350 and above, I think the issue would be that you probably need to add more fuel. Also, I would recommend going with lump charcoal. Lump burns hotter than briquettes, although you could find some higher, some coals that do burn hotter. Briquettes, I'm thinking of like the Kingsford Professional. They burn hot, but then they also burn fast. But in general, I would say go with lump charcoal to get hotter, higher temperatures. And then the question about mixing lump and charcoal as a fuel source, I haven't really tried that, but my first thought is that there probably is a benefit to it. If you're usually cooking with briquettes and you're having that problem, I think adding some lump probably would net you some additional degrees to help make it hotter. But in general, I would recommend going with lump to get higher temperatures. Again, guys, if you would like to get a copy of this, you can get it. All you got to do is go to backyardsmokemaster.com/Weber360. And we will be more than happy to send you a copy of this comparison if you would like it. Now, we do have a few more comments. A cowboy, he don't even have his license. Lisa says, cowboy lump is a blend of hickory and oak. I use it for high heat cooks. Yeah, we have another video where we did look at different lump charcoal brands, and I did rank cowboy really high, in part because I felt that it got really hot, and then also it's usually priced pretty well. Like, I've been seeing comments that currently, I think at least as of recently as last week, I think cowboy was on sale at Walmart for a really good price. I'm thinking like $12 a bag or something like that. And then, as the comment says, it's a blend of hickory and oak, and those woods tend to burn hotter than others. I think that probably speaks to, you know, why, at least in my testing, the temperatures that we got using cowboy was pretty good. So that would be another thing to consider for your PK360, trying to get those temperatures up over 350 degrees. Like I said, maybe go with lump and then try to maybe go with cowboy. Give that a shot. Okay, the handle is from the movie Weird Science. Okay, that makes sense. Now, don't laugh at me, but I'm one of the few people that did not see that movie from back in the day. So that's why I didn't get the reference. I'm glad that I finally caught this podcast. Thank you. I appreciate that. The podcast typically is on every Friday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, unless there's a hiccup or for some other reason. But for the most part, that's where you can find the podcast live. And then you can also catch the replay. The replay anytime on YouTube, as well as the audio version of the podcast, is available on your favorite podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, so on and so forth. So new episodes every week. So glad that you did find us, and appreciate you tuning in and leaving a comment. And then also pointing out that cowboy is very inexpensive at Costco. It burns hot, but it's a little less inconsistent than a non-blend. So we're getting another recommendation for cowboy. And yeah, I think cowboy is a pretty good brand to look at for lump charcoal. and he's been thinking about getting a PK for some time now. So like I said, if you don't have either a Weber kettle or a PK 360, if you just want low entry into the barbecue game, I think the Weber kettle is a great way to go, just because, again, of its flexibility and all of the accessories and just everything. You probably can't get better value for the money than the Weber kettle. But then again, PK360, very similar cooking experience. You get more durability. Again, that design makes it really easy, I think, for two-zone cooking. It's very versatile. So you're going to pay a little bit more, but I think it is worth the money. Like, I have no doubts or no regrets about getting the PK360 alongside my Weber kettle. Okay. Do you use the PK for low and slow? Yes. Yes. The PK360, just like the Weber kettle, is versatile. So you can set it up for low and slow, as well as high temperature grilling. Really easy to do two zone cooking on a PK360. If you've cooked on a Weber kettle, you'll pick up how to cook on a PK360 very easily. The same concepts. The PK360 has those two cylinder knobs at the bottom for the air intake. Just turn the knob and that's going to bring air. And then they've got the two dials up at the top of the lid for the exhaust. That's where you typically would go to make adjustments for the temperature. And it's the same concept as the kettle. Limit the air going in to the PK as well as going out, and that will give you lower temperatures. Maximize the amount of air coming in, and obviously that gives you much hotter temperatures. Yes, you can definitely use the PK360 for low and slow. And we got a second to that. Yes, you can use it for low and slow. And agreed, the Weber kettle does everything good. However, I like the idea of having grills for a specific task. If I had a PK, it would be for steaks and wings and other high heat cooks. Yeah, I agree. When I bought my PK360, that was what I thought of first. I thought about how it just looked really intuitive to do two-zone cooking with the PK360. And then I also thought that it looked really easy to do high temperature cooking, because the grill grates really don't sit, they're not far from the charcoal. Like in the Weber kettle, there's a pretty good amount of space between the bottom of the bowl and where the grate sits in the Weber kettle. But in the PK360, the coals are just a matter of inches away from the grate. So if you're looking to do high temperature cooking, really easy to do in the PK. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, a lot of times if you wait it out, or if you get on PK Grill's email list, if you wait it out, they often have sales, and you can typically get the PK. I think like right now it's $7.99, but sometimes you can get it, I want to say $6.99, but then they'll also throw in like, what do you call them? They'll throw in grill grates. Is that the right name? The guys that make the grates, you put them on top of your grates, and it really makes it easy to do high temperature cooking. Hold on here. I am just making sure I'm saying the name correctly. Yeah, they're called grill grates. Oftentimes you can get the PK360 and they will throw in grill grates as well. Let me just pull this up. All right, so yeah, we're looking at their website, Grill Grates. They make those grates that you put on top of your regular grates and make it really easy. This is what they look like. Make it really easy to cook it at high temperatures. And when you're using the PK360, like I said, with the fuel being so close to the grates, really easy to get high temperatures. So definitely, I think the PK is great for that for sure. All right. We got some more comments. How easy is it to clean up grease and ash from the PK? So this is an interesting question. So the PK360, its design, it kind of naturally fits a regular size aluminum pan. So you can put an aluminum pan under your meat, like if you do a two-zone cooking setup, and that'll make it really easy to capture the grease. As far as the ash and grease clean out, like if the grease does settle at the bottom of the firebox, it does have a capsule. I'm trying to think of the right word, but I think it's like a capsule where you can remove it, and it'll allow you to easily sweep out the ash. So I don't think it's significantly difficult to clean out the PK any more different than a Weber kettle or anything else. Maybe a little bit more difficult than a Weber kettle, because the kettle has the lever that will help sweep out the ash, and it's got the big container where it's captured. Whereas with the PK, like if you do sweep out the ash, you'll need to get your own bucket or pail or whatever to sweep it out. So that would be a little bit of a difference. Let's see here. Yeah, just confirming. Yeah, Grill Grates is the name. All right, well, it looks like the comments, the questions are slowing down, but I do want to express my appreciation to everyone who tuned in this evening with your questions and your comments. Hopefully you got something from today's episode. If it was good, please leave a review wherever you're watching or listening to the podcast. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a review. That would really help us out. Also, we're also always available on YouTube. Also, check out the website. And I do appreciate that. Thank you. So we're just trying to provide good barbecue information to all of these enthusiasts and people who want to learn more about barbecue. Love to get on here and talk about it with you guys. So do appreciate you all tuning in. But we're going to go ahead and sign off for this evening. If you do have more questions, always check us out at backyardsmokemaster.com or leave a comment. Very easy to get in contact with, also on the various social media as well. So thank you again for participating and providing your comments. He says, I talk about barbecue every day with my buddies. Well, tell your buddies about Backyard Smokemaster Barbecue. We're trying to get our exposure up, and all of the recommendations and all of that really goes a long way. So thanks again to everyone for tuning in. Again, we'll have a new video out pretty soon on YouTube where we do the more in-depth comparison between the PK360 and the Weber kettle, including a taste test. My wife will be tasting for her. It'll be a blind taste test, but we like to do these comparison videos. I have a lot of different grills and smokers in my backyard. This again was all from a viewer request. So again, if there's anything that you would also like to see on the channel, please leave a comment. We try to accommodate, you know, what we can. We want to put together a barbecue content that you are interested in. So thanks again for tuning in. My name is Kenyatta Robinson. This is the Backyard Smokemaster Barbecue Podcast. Have a great evening, and I'll see you soon.